Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, August 6th, 2013, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the program this afternoon. We're live here today at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, and I just want to also thank our late-night listeners, and all the other stations that listen to this program at different times. I want to thank you for listening and for all of your support. Let's get started today with the markets. And I knew 1300 was a pretty significant number on gold. And we did break down through there today, down 20 bucks at 1284. Silver was down 20 cents now. Silver's down 20 cents at $19.61. Platinum down 21 at $14.34. Palladium down 11 at $727. It's a coincidence maybe, but gold down 20, silver down 20, platinum down 21. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? USDX today, that was down 2.25. at 81.61, along with crude oil down $1.10 at 105.46. All the paper markets were down. Also, you had the Dow was down 94 points at 15,518. You had the NASDAQ down 27 at 36.65. The S&P was down 10 points at 16.97. And the 10-year yield is holding at 2.64. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And if you'd like to send us a question for today's program, you can do so by sending it by email at questions@dgscoins.com. Questions@dgscoins.com. Happy Tuesday, Al.
Happy Tuesday, Melody. Try not to sound so excited about that.
Hey, I love
Happy
it.
Happy Tuesday, Al.
Happy Tuesday, Al.
All right.
I love it when gold is down. Yeah, I like to see it at 1900. I'd like to see it at 3000 and 5000, which I do believe we will get there. We just have to be patient. But when you have these dips in gold, hey, it's a great time to pick it up. It's a great time to acquire it. Every time you get an opportunity to buy it when it pulls back, this is what you should do.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. Eric Sprott, billionaire from Sprott Investment, He believes the price of gold right now is a better time to buy now than it was back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively speaking, he expects a bigger return if you buy now than was seen from 2000 to 2011, 12. He expects more in the near future than we saw then. So nobody knows. No one can say for gospel. No one can say it for gospel, but for logic, for truth, for common sense, for every reason you can imagine, gold should go up, and it should go up dramatically, except for one thing. Price manipulation, artificial price suppression by the government. Shameless, overt. And it's been going on for a decade, but it's been particularly virulent in the last 2 years and just shameless, obvious. We see these waterfall events where all of a sudden gold just, bang, price falls $20, $30 in a matter of, moments, a couple of minutes. And it's not the market that's doing that. It's a manipulated market. It's an electronic market. It's not happening in real life. But you deal with it, and you have to make up your mind, what do you see? If you can't count on the government to tell you the truth, and they're not, everyone listening to this program has to understand that. The true numbers on inflation and unemployment and the size of the national debt and virtually everything else, they lie and they lie and they lie. You can't count on them. You have to count on your own eyes. You have to count on your own capacity for logic. And you have to believe, or at least I believe, that sooner or later, people will be forced to abandon the lies. The lies will be shown to be lies in a way that's no longer tenable. And someone's going to have to say, okay, the unemployment rate, it's actually 23%. We're off a little bit when we told you it was 7%, 7.2%, whatever. We're off a little bit. Yeah, you're off by over 15%. Sooner or later, the truth has to come out. When it does, there's going to be a dramatic change in circumstances, which should include a dramatic increase in the price of gold. So,
It's interesting now today. You had a little bit of pressure on the U.S. dollar. The euro was up, and usually on days like that, you can see gold rise a little bit or at least maintain the same in this manipulated market. But recently, usually when the first day that we see the dollar down, you'll see gold go down with it. But usually the next day, it climbs back. And so it'll be interesting to see what gold does tomorrow. Plus today, you had there was additional situation is building over there in Yemen, and that alone should have had, you should have seen, gold at least to the upside.
That's because traditionally gold signals that when there's political unrest.
That's right.
All right, gold reflects that. Whenever there's political unrest, gold should go up.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been in a condition of political unrest for so long that it's become the new normal. And, we're bombing Yemen. Big deal. It won't be long. A couple weeks from now, we'll probably bomb Canada. And then after that, we'll go down and get Mexico and maybe Brazil. We bomb everybody. So just wait your turn, and we're going to bomb everybody. And the American people are going to sit back, no big deal,
Isn't that a sad commentary, though?
It's a terrible commentary, yeah. And yet it does appear to be true.
Yes, it does. Yeah. So, folks, you know what you have to do. We talk about a lot of gold and silver, and it's been a while. We didn't mention your food and your water. You need to be prepared. There is no one that will help you but yourself. So do what you have to do.
All right, what else do we have, Melody?
You have an article of Paul Craig Roberts.
That's really, it's an astonishing article. And Paul Craig Roberts, I don't know how many of you recognize his name, but Paul Craig Roberts was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Economic Policy back, I believe, under the Clinton administration. But for a while, this guy was an Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. The man is connected. He has been on the inside. I won't say he's still an insider, but he's certainly been an insider. He was an associate editor for the Wall Street Journal. He was a columnist for Business Week's Scripps Howard News Service and Creators Syndicate, and he has credentials beyond that. Right? The point is, this guy cannot be dismissed as a mere alarmist or fearmonger. You can't just say this guy's got his aluminum foil hat on too tight, and it's giving him headaches. So when we see his recent article, America's Future is Death, and he spells America with a K rather than a C. America's Future is Death, and you could look this up. You could just type in America's Future is Death. Put that into your search engine, and you can find this article yourself. I'm going to go through a few points out of the article, but you could find the article yourself, and it is all by itself. The title is shocking, coming from a man with Paul Craig Roberts' credentials. It is amazing. It's shocking. And again, he's spelling America with a K rather than a C, and he's doing it to emphasize or illustrate that we're heading into becoming a fascist nation. He says, I'm certain that the Western media is worse than the Soviet media was. Americans have been fed lies by their government and the government's prostitute media for so long that it's not surprising that Americans increasingly believe that there is a conspiracy operating against them. Millions of Americans have been evicted from their jobs, careers, and homes while the crooks who stole from them run free and bankroll the presidential candidates. The world is the world as millions of Americans knew it has come to an end, and no one has been held accountable. I mean, that's just really the first paragraph or so of his article, and it's just an astonishing accusation, particularly from a man with his credentials. Sort of thing that if I said that, you could say, you know, Attisk is off ranting again. When you get this from someone like Paul Craig Roberts, you have to say there is some credibility to this, and he's right. The world, as millions of Americans knew it, has come to an end, and no one has been held accountable. And it's not, it hasn't come to an end simply because the world has moved on or evolved. It's come to an end because people in position, people with significant wealth have captured our Congress and our Senate and our White House, and they are using it, using the politicians as a device to pass laws to put even more money in the pockets of the super rich. And the result is 1% of the country is doing well, and the other 99% of the country is having anywhere from mild trouble to big trouble. And it's happened because we have a government that no longer believes in the general welfare of the American people, but instead believes in special interests. And on the basis of our political campaign laws that allow congressmen, senators, and presidents to take almost unprecedented amounts of money from contributors, from almost any source at any time for any reason. We have turned our Congress into, it's no longer a legislative arena, it has become a brokerage. We had, Rand Paul was speaking just in the last couple of days, I saw him on an excerpt on YouTube, and he was complaining to Congress, and he was saying, look, nobody's even read, they had a 600-page law. 600 pages. It was given to them just an hour or two because before they were going to vote on it. Rand Paul says, no one has read this legislation. No one even knows what it speaks and yet what it says, and yet they're going to vote on it. And he says, we are violating our own rules, which declare that we've got to have these items of legislation for at least 2 days before a vote is taken on. And even that's ridiculous. You know, most people, including virtually everyone in the Congress, can't read 600 pages of a romance novel in 2 days. You try to read 600 pages of a proposed law? This is complex, sophisticated language. And the implications of the language are enormous. And people can live or die. They can prosper or be ruined based on the inclusion or exclusion of just a couple of words out of that 600-page document. And nobody's even going to read it. They don't have time to read it. You couldn't read it in 2 days, but at least the rules say they can't have the vote in less than 2 days. They pass out the proposed bill on Tuesday. They can't vote on it until Thursday. Well, at least something. Here, they're going to vote on it. They were going to vote on it in a matter of hours. Pass it out, and everybody's going to vote on it. And they're betting that they can pass it the same way they passed the National Defense Authorization Act, and the same way they passed the Patriot Act, and the same way they pass most of the legislation in Congress. Nobody reads it, or virtually no one reads it. Instead, what they do is they broker laws. The question becomes, when you're dealing with congressmen, how do you decide who you want to be your congressman, your senator, your president? And the way most of us decide, if we stop to think about it, is we look at whoever the candidates are, and we choose the candidate that we think thinks most like I do. That's who I vote for. I look at, you know, there's one, two, three candidates, however many. I look at it and say, now that guy over there, he doesn't think like me at all, so I'm not going to vote for him. But this other guy over here, he seems to think, he has the same system of values that I have, or pretty much. We might disagree on a few things, but he is pretty much like me. And therefore, when he gets to Congress, he will vote when a bill comes in front of him and he reads the bill and he says, he goes down the bill and he reads item by item. He will vote for it, or he will vote against it, pretty much like I would, because his system of values are pretty much like mine. But what difference does it make what a congressman's system of values are if he doesn't read the bills that he votes for or votes against? We might just as well send a serial killer or a pedophile or a chimpanzee. It doesn't make any difference if no one reads the legislation. And if they don't read the legislation, how do they know what to vote for or what to vote against? And the answer is because somebody tells them. Someone tells them, vote for these, here I got a dozen bills over here, vote for these dozen, and here I got 10 over in this pile, vote against those. You don't need to bother reading them, Congressman, just vote, the pile that's got a dozen, vote for those, vote against these 10 over here. Got that? And the congressman says, yes, boss. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean the congressman who seems to have my system of values is representing me? Or the one that has your system of values is representing you? It does not. It means that he represents whoever it is that tells him how to vote. That's who he's really representing. He's not representing his constituents. He's got a boss someplace up in Congress that says, vote for these, vote against those. And he says, yes, boss. Whatever you say, boss. He's not representing his own people. He's not representing the American people. He's representing the powers that be in Congress. And how do we get to the man who tells them how to vote or how not to vote? He could be one of the more important members of the Republican Party, one of the more important members of the Democrat Party. And how did they get to be important? They got it by taking bribes from rich people, from wealthy institutions, both financial and unions, in some instances unions. And they vote in favor of the interests that give them the most money. And based on that, the Congress becomes a brokerage rather than a legislature. And this is a terrible, terrible problem. And it flows from our political campaign laws. These worthless, treasonous whores sitting in the cat house on the Potomac. They get to make money off their positions, congressmen, senators, presidents. They can enrich themselves, and that's what most of them are there for. And nothing's going to be done about it until we change the political campaign contribution laws. And if we were to change those political campaign contribution laws, we could see a resurrection of people passing laws in this country that were actually good for the majority of the American people rather than good for the special interests that are able to flood the Congress with dollars. We could do what's right for the American people rather than what's right for the super rich or the major corporations or the financial institutions that are too big to fail. We could do what's right for the American people. And if we did, this country would be immeasurably improved. But so long as these political campaign contribution laws remain as there is, we're in big trouble. And it's part of the reason, again, I started with an article from Paul Craig Roberts, just got a paragraph into it. It's part of it that he's written an article called America's Future is Death. We'll talk more about it when we return. Going to take a commercial break. Be back shortly with Melody Cederstrom and myself, Alfred Addisk, on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, what else do they need to know, Melody?
Well, they need to know how to get to our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, of course, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, Financial Survival. You can listen to the radio program. It's archived on a daily basis. So they can do both things, the newsletter and the radio program. So it's dgscoins.com. And they can call us at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay. I was talking about an article written by Paul Craig Roberts entitled, America's Future is Death. And I'm telling you that this is an article. I don't generally just say, oh, you got to read, should read one thing or another. This one's worth reading. This is well written. This is well done. It is a list of one offense after another that's been committed against the American people. And it's written by a man in a position to know what he's talking about, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. And you can't just dismiss this and say this guy's a crackpot. We talked a little bit. Again, the world millions of Americans knew has come to an end, and no one has been held accountable. Why did the world we knew come to an end? It's not because it evolved. It wasn't a natural thing. It's because hustlers, con artists, thieves, and psychopaths have taken control of the levers of power in government. And they've done it by means of political campaign contribution laws that allow congressmen to be for sale. Newt Gingrich calculated this back 10 years ago or thereabouts. They calculated that it would only cost about $500,000 to take control of the whole country. My recollection, it would be that little to bribe people in positions of key positions of power in the 50 states. It might even been that he said he may have said $5 million, but I believe he said $500,000 was what was required. But it was a small number. It was easily doable. And the smart SOBs, the neoconservatives in both the Democrat and Republican parties, have followed Newt's calculations. And they've bribed everybody that needs to be bribed. And the net result is a government that's for sale to the highest bidder. And if you're merely a voter and you're not in a position to contribute money to these people, you're not even a player. You're not even a consideration. They have to deal with you and give you a little lip service every couple of years when we have an election. But in fact, you're like the children who, for the most part, are just told to go out and play while the adults, you know, we're going to sit here in the kitchen and we're going to decide what's good for the world. It goes back to political campaign contribution laws. Robert's article, America's Future is Death. Again, I highly recommend you read this. He complains that the economy is run for the top 1%. He complains about Homeland Security and that porno scans and genital feel-ups have spread from airports to bus and train stations and the public highways, despite the absence of terrorist events. We haven't had a terrorist event worth mentioning since 2011, or 2001, excuse me, 9/11 in 2001. It's been 12 years, and yet we watch this police state apparatus grow and grow in this country as if terrorists were here right now. The only people taking my rights are the people who work in the government. You know, we have a military that sits back and say, thank the soldiers, they're fighting for our freedoms. My question, and I've said it before, is name two. In other words, name two freedoms that any modern military man has fought for in his entire career. Afghanistan didn't threaten my freedoms. Iraq didn't threaten my freedoms. Syria didn't. Libya didn't. They aren't taking any of my freedoms. The only entity that's taking my freedoms are the government of the United States and the government of the state of Texas. Those are the enemies that are taking my freedoms. And no one in the military is doing a thing to fight against them. They're not fighting for our freedoms. They're fighting for our government. They're fighting for our special interests that control the government, but they're not fighting for our freedoms. Roberts complains, why does the Department of Homeland Security need enough ammunition to shoot every American 2.5 times. They bought, I think, a couple billion bullets. Huh? Over a billion in any case. What do they need all those bullets for? The police state that is being constructed in freedom and democracy America is without parallel in history. We jail more people than any other country on the face of the earth, and that's not news. That's been true for 15, 20 years. And by that measure, we have been the world's greatest police state for most of the last 20 years. We didn't realize it. I mean, we may not even realize it now. But judging if only by the size of our prison industrial complex, we're already the world's biggest police state, and people that dance around and say, oh, we're free. The heck you are. I was talking to a friend of mine. We're talking about someone was brought up the subject of a Renaissance man. Matter of fact, it was my friend Ralph. His grandfather was the first mayor of Los Angeles, and he invented things. He's a very brilliant man. This goes back into the late 1800s. A very brilliant man. How do you get to be a Renaissance man today? With all of the technology that's available, a Renaissance man could be tinkering in his garage, but can you tinker in your garage right now without the EPA, FDA, IRS, somebody from the government coming in and saying, oh, wait, that's not, no, we've got to regulate that. Could a Renaissance man exist in a police state? Could he exist in a society that is overwhelmed by government regulation? Roberts continues, a gullible population is helpless if government decides to enslave the people. It's child's play for governments to discredit a people's natural leaders and those who provide the people with accurate information. And as a result, most Americans have a very small knowledge base and a very large ideological preconceptions. Consequently, they, meaning the American people, can't tell fiction from fact. Obama says the unemployment rate is 7.2%. People believe it. Huh? They are, and this is one of the things we talk about on this program, trying to encourage people to learn to perceive with your own eyes and rely on your own mind and your eyes and your ears. And what do you see? What do you think? And we have a nation that is, to a significant degree, incapable of that sort of objective observation and thought. The president of Russia, whose thermonuclear ballistic missiles can remove the U.S. from the face of the earth, stated for all the world to hear that Washington has the entire world in fear of its hegemonic drive. No one feels safe, said Putin, Vladimir Putin from Russia, president of Russia. Now, that's what the world is concerned about, what America is doing. America, Putin acknowledged, wants to rule the world. But Washington, and I'm reading, this is Robert's statement, but Washington is not going to rule Russia and China. If the current White House moron keeps his promise to Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu that the U.S. will attack Iran next June, if Iran does not close down its nuclear energy program, a non-weapons program permitted to Iran as a signatory of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, the White House will have opened the door to World War III. In such a war, the U.S. would not be immune from attacks as it was in World War I and World War II. This time, America could disappear in a nuclear holocaust. If any of the world survives, people will be thankful for Washington's removal from the scene. This is from a former Secretary of the Treasury, a former assistant editor for a Wall Street Journal. Right? And he says, if Washington's made to disappear, the world will cheer. And his concluding paragraph is, death is what your government in Washington, both Republicans and Democrats, are bringing you. Both parties are driven by the neoconservatives who believe that American hegemony over the world is worth nuclear war to accomplish. If these dangerous ideologues continue to prevail, life on Earth has a very short-run prospect. That's the end of the article. Again, America's Future is Death by Paul Craig Roberts. You could find this article if you wanted to on the Internet. I guarantee this is worth your time, worth reading. It's, of course, you know, I only read a few excerpts from the article. It's longer, but well done. Brilliant article. Very nicely done. And he's, you know, you can't get around it. We are headed for enormous trouble unless something is done to rein in our government. Someone's got to make them understand that they can't just do what's good for big business, for multinational corporations, for banks that are too big to fail. They've actually got to do what's right for the American people. And that does not include shipping our jobs overseas, refusing to protect our borders, and allowing the economy to decline into recession and or depression. Your government is not working for you, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're going to allow that to continue, you are going to pay a price. You're not going to be able to get around this. You're going to pay a big price. Your children are going to pay a price. This is not, you know, a casual, a small item, a small mistake, a small misunderstanding. This is trouble. And you know, it's part of the reason, you know, also Melody talked earlier in the program about, in times of political trouble, we expect to see the price of gold go up. It's not happening right now. For whatever reason, people don't seem to appreciate that trouble is knocking on the, you know, on the door. And got to hear it. You got to pay attention to it. You've got to prepare yourself. It doesn't mean that we're going to necessarily, absolutely have that trouble. But even the act of preparation is a kind of resistance where you are effectively casting your vote and saying, I don't trust this government. I don't trust Obama. I don't trust the Republicans. I don't trust the Democrats. I know they're both selling us down the river. We are left every time with voting for the lesser of two evils. You know, the reason many people vote for Republican, why do they vote for Republicans? Because they hate the Democrats even more. And similarly, why do a lot of people vote for the Democrats? because they think that Democrats are such honorable men and women? No. They know they're a bunch of thugs, but they hate the Republicans even more than they hate the Democrats. Who votes for a political party right now because they really believe that party is good? We vote for whichever party you are persuaded to vote for. I'm willing to bet the reason you vote for it is you believe it's not as bad as the other one. All by itself, there's something wrong with that mindset. When do we find a party that we can vote for that we actually believe might be here to do good for the American people? It's not the Republicans and it's not the Democrats. Anyone who looks at this, it's unfortunate, it's painful, it's not the sort of thing anybody wants to say, it's not what we want to see, but nevertheless, there it is. Which party is doing this country any good? Do you really vote for one party or the other because you think it's helping this country, or do you vote for one party because you think the other party will do even more damage? You can't run this country. The political system can't be run on that basis and expect it to sustain for long. What do you think, Melody? Shall we start a new political party?
Well, it certainly has been.
How about the Gold Bug Party?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's a good idea. Yeah.
You know, the sad thing is, you know, there's a few good who do try to make changes and so forth. And what happens is, I think lots of times voters get so caught up in these movements that they get attached to one area, to one movement, to one thing that they actually relate to. And it's very difficult, I think, for people to see big pictures anymore. For whatever reason, maybe they just can't absorb it. Maybe it's some sort of a denial, because when you begin to look at the big picture, then you have to look at things differently when you look at the big picture. So we have a tendency to glob on to one movement, to one thing that we believe, you know, so heartedly in, and we stick to that, and that's who we vote for, and that's who we support. And we've seen it in various positions on both sides, in both parties. So it's, you know, sometimes it's, I don't know where I'm trying to go with this, but it's difficult. Maybe I'm trying to support the people, maybe to give a reason why we are here, why they have a tendency to
it has to do with the breakdown in society, and this breakdown is a function of perhaps a declining economy, and there's a number of reasons you could point to it, but a bunch of those reasons come out of Washington, D.C., and the result is we have a fragmentation. We have a disintegration. We have special interests, and part of the reason we support one candidate or we support one idea is because we have glommed onto it as our special interest. And it becomes the way we relate to the entire system through a particular special interest. And therefore, we are compelled always to do what's best for our special interest. And other people are compelled to fight for their special interest. And no one is fighting for the general interest, that the general welfare that we see at in the preamble to the Constitution. Preamble of the Constitution declares that there has to be, let me see if I can find it here and read it. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. When we work for the general welfare, we are doing what is best for all of us. When we work for special interests, we are doing what is best for a special, limited little group, and it will almost come, whatever benefits it drives, will come at the expense of the majority of the American people. Special interest legislation becomes a way of dividing this country. It becomes a way of creating interests and power structures and institutions that are, even when they have succeeded in achieving their original goal, they don't want to give it up. They don't want to give up the power. They don't want to give up the money. They want to keep on pushing for more and more for them. And the result is a distortion. It's lies. It's bribery. And it's, again, national disintegration. And it does not serve us well. We need to get back to general welfare instead of special interests. We're going to take a break for a couple more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Attisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. I'm here with co-host Melody Cedarstrom. Melody, where are we going now? What's next?
Well, you know what, Al? It's, you know, I'm thinking about the denial of people, the way they deny things. And number one, we have lost God in this country. He's been taken out of everything. You're going to have a decline based on that because there's no responsibility, accountability, you know, that we see and here we are. It just is. I mean, no one has to be accountable to anyone anymore. We do what we want to do. If it feels good, you do it.
That's right.
Most of the people in this country, how hard do they have it? Yes, we have a huge number of people unemployed. We have a huge number of people that have difficulty making ends meet. We have a huge amount of people that are working 2-3 jobs in order to feed their families. But we also have the other side of the coin where we have folks that can go out and buy $400 or $500 cell phones. They've got 3 or 4 televisions in their home. They've got 3 or 4 vehicles sitting in their driveways. So it's very hard to see reality when you have all these distortions, these illusions. And people, who wants to accept the fact that our civilization is on decline? Who wants to accept the fact that we have all these problems? It's very difficult, and a lot of folks are in denial. We see it when they come to, we see it when we look at their finances. Go ahead.
You talk about we're in denial in part because we are not, it's not simply a matter of no one is being held accountable, but it's very difficult to reason your way through to discover who is accountable or what fundamental problems are responsible for much of what we see. For example, a political campaign contribution laws. Not many people would sit back and say that's the source of the problem, or at least one of the major sources of the problems. But from my perspective, and I've looked at this for many years, I have no doubt that if the political campaign contribution laws were revised to where congressmen could not be bought and sold like whores in a brothel, right? If you would change those political campaign laws to where there was no longer money to be made being a congressman other than your salary, your annual salary, we would have a better quality of Congress. We would have better quality of laws. We wouldn't be overwhelmed by special interest legislation, which is killing us. So trying to find out who's accountable or what institutions are accountable, it's difficult because the world is so complex and much of the power is so remote. It's not here in my neighborhood. The source of the problems that I have or presume to have, that source is not close to me. It's not immediately accessible. It's up in Washington, D.C. Much of it. Not all of it, but much of it. And it's not, again, not easily accessible, not even easily identifiable. And it gives us, puts us at great disadvantage.
But then, too, Al, us as a people, as a group, we just haven't been paying attention.
True.
And we, would we be this far along? And we've been conditioned, I think, for a very long time. And we can, you know, I'm just not going to focus on Washington. I'm going to focus on the powers to be. I believe we have been conditioned over a long period of time. I can remember as a kid, hey, you just knew politicians were, you know, weren't what they were. We were taught not to talk politics and religion. If we had continued to talk about those two things, would we be where we are today? No, I don't think so.
I agree.
So we have been conditioned to take these things out of our daily lives. And this is why we haven't been paying attention, because that was taken off our shoulders. It's like, again, we'll take care of you. We're here to help you. Enjoy your life. And unfortunately,
I saw a calculation by an economist just in the last few days, and I can't recall his name, but he calculated the average person on welfare, unemployment welfare right now, can make the equivalent of $12 an hour if he's taking all the welfare benefits that are available to him, including food stamps. In other words, $12 an hour, I didn't say in the article I read, I assume he's calculating on the basis of 40 hours a week. So we're talking about almost $500 a week income for being unemployed. Compare that to the minimum wage, which is $7.25. You can go out and get a job at minimum wage and make $280, make basically $280 a week before taxes, or you can go on unemployment and make $500 a week, and you don't even have to get up and go to work. You don't have the cost of driving to your job. What kind of a world is it where welfare pays better than minimum wage? That is the kind of irrational behavior that we've come to expect from government. We just look at it, and it encourages people not to take a job, but you're crazy to take a job, at least at minimum wage. By the time you get done, if welfare is worth $500 a week, if you take advantage of the whole schmear, you're crazy to take a job that pays $600 a week, because you'll eat up $100 just in transportation costs and car insurance and gasoline and the rest of that sort of thing, getting back and forth to work. You're better off to be unemployed. How can that be? And how can it continue? Because where is the money coming from for the people who are on welfare? It's coming out of the pockets of the people that are working for a living, including the guy who's making $7.25 an hour. They're paying to support these. How long can they continue? Particularly in a recessed or perhaps depressed economy. How long can this continue? It's just another one of these signs. You look at it and say, look, this whole thing is going to blow up in everybody's face, and we don't know when, but it's going to happen. It's virtually certain to happen. It'll take something like a miracle for it not to happen. Miracles are possible, but they're not going to take place, in my opinion, unless the American people begin to wake up and we see a real revival, a moral revival in this country that impacts even our Congress, Senate, and President. And what's the probability of that? We can talk about it all, you know, all week, but what's the probability of that happening? It does look like the only way the American people are going to be forced to get religion, the only way they're going to do it is in the aftermath of a major economic collapse. And those of us who survive and are able to claw our way out of the rubble, we're going to get religion. If we didn't have it already, we're going to find it in the rubble, in the poverty, in the starvation, in a greater depression. We will find religion, Bubba. I mean, there's going to be those. There's going to be the evangelists. Big money be made being an evangelist, moving from town to town, setting up your tent, teaching people. A lot of them will be con artists, but even so, a lot of people will begin to get religion and some sort of a moral foundation, and then we can see this country begin to right itself. But I'm not able to see how we can avoid the collapse, and I'm not able to see, unless we have the revival, and I'm not able to see how we're going to have a spiritual revival without first having the collapse. It's kind of like the, you know, which comes first, the spiritual revival or the economic collapse, Melody? Instead of a chicken egg, which comes first, the chicken or the egg, which comes first, spiritual a revival or economic collapse, which comes first?
Well, I think what's going to come first is unfortunately the collapse.
I think so too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so too, and it's nothing. You can sit here and we talk about it on the program, and the idea that there may be a collapse is an incentive for many people to buy gold and silver coins. And we can use that as a sales device if we care to, but that's not the reason I'm talking about it on this program. It's not the reason we're talking about it on the program. We're talking about it because it appears to be true. You know, it's one of these things you look at it and say, look, we're going to see big trouble. We just don't know how soon. Could it happen this year? Maybe. Could it happen in 5 years? I don't see how it couldn't happen in 5 years. And probably, you know, the probability goes up every day. Step by step, inch by inch, we are getting closer and closer and closer to what may be a catastrophe, but will certainly be a significant problem. May not be a catastrophe, but it could be. And we talk about it, and we amplify it, and we dwell on it to some degree, in part to help people look around and see with your own eyes. We're trying to give you an impression. You look at it, you look to the north and you can see it. You look to the south, you can see it. To the east and to the west, if you look and you care to see, we think you'll see the same thing we're looking at, the same thing we're seeing. And you're going to say, you know, I think they're right. I'm trying to break people out of that mindset where if Obama says the unemployment rate is 7.2%, well, that must be what it is. Trying to get people to see the truth. And if you do, then you can prepare for what may be a difficult time. We've got a couple of minutes left, Melody. Anything?
Well, you know, we talk about the signs, and, you know, Detroit is going to be an example of what we see throughout, I believe, this country. And the ones that will get hurt the most are of course, the pensions.
Yeah.
You know, all these
first
people.
Ones.
The first, yeah. And but it's not just Detroit. It's many state and local governments are not funded enough to that they haven't set aside enough money to make good on the promises of the retirement benefits. You have about 17 states that have funded more than 80% of their projected pension liability.
That's
17.
Good.
That's 17 states.
Yeah, I understand. That have 80% or more. All right, that's good. But
that
we're
is
talking
good.
About they're good for them. But we've got a bunch more that probably haven't funded 5%.
You're right.
That's the problem. Majority are, you know, Detroit is just one of the first canaries in the coal mine to croak. That's all it is. It's not the only one. That's not the only dead bird we're going to have. We're going to have a lot of dead canaries before this is done. And I don't know how many dead canaries we need to pile up. Do we need a dump truck full of dead canaries before somebody says, you know, I think there might be something wrong with that coal mine? Or how many do you need to see, folks? Do you need to see one canary? Do you need to see a dozen? Do you need to see 1,000? How many dead canaries do you need to see before you can say, you know, I think I want to stay out of that coal mine. I think it's a problem. Detroit is one of the canaries. One of the first ones, but it won't be the last.
You have some states. You have Hawaii, Alaska, Kansas, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Louisiana, Kentucky, Connecticut, and Illinois They have now set aside less than 60% of what they need. Illinois has saved just 43 cents to cover every dollar what it needs to pay. And these are their new accounting figures, too. So you really don't know what they have.
New and improved accounting figures. There's something we can trust.
It's the fuzzy math. But the big question is, who's going to be responsible? Who's going to be cleaning up all these financial messes? Is it going to be the retirees? Will it be the millions of retirees that are owed trillions of dollars in benefits? Is it going to be the bondholders? Is it going to be the local taxpayers who have to pay more to cover the shortfalls or even to see deeper cuts in public services?
And the answer is none of the above. They'll try to hang the rap on the children and the grandchildren when they get old enough to pay taxes. They're doing it by means of deficit financing. They'll try to persuade the taxpayers to pay these bills, but the fact of the matter is the economy has run down to a point where they can't squeeze the money out of the stones. Nobody's going to pay these bills. And that means a lot of people are going to be badly hurt who are dependent on pensions, for example. But other people are going to also be hurt who are holding some of these bonds. And they're saying, ha-ha, again, we talk about it on a regular basis. I've got a bond here. It's worth $100,000. It's worth $1 million. I'm a rich man. No, you're not. You got nothing but a piece of paper. You have nothing but an IOU. And sooner or later, you hold that paper long enough, you're going to find out that it is worthless. And when that day comes around, you are going to find out that you're no better off than the people who are waiting for their pension checks. There won't be a pension check, or if there is, it won't amount to diddly compared to what you had expected. And it'll be the same thing with your pieces of paper for bonds and stocks and so on. The only way I'm able to understand that you could protect yourself is, again, you want to grab onto something tangible. And there's a bunch of options, but two of them are gold and silver. And they're probably the best ones you have. Go ahead.
And you know what's interesting is I think with as this all unfolds, we know people are putting their money in, that they're keeping their cash. They're keeping their cash in the banks. They have a security there. Wealthy people, and that's the worst thing that you can do. I mean, my goodness, we have Cyprus, and now we have Detroit. So they have no problems taking your money, folks. So.
No, I know. You know, you put it in the bank, and it's safe from bank robbers, pretty much. It's safe from common thieves and the rest of that sort of thing. But it's not safe from government thieves. And they are probably far more dangerous than the thieves you'll run into out on the street. They like you to say, oh, my goodness, we're going to protect you against the gangsters and the thugs. They're going to protect you against the poor gangsters and thugs. But who's protecting you against the rich gangsters? And the answer is no one. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, between now and tomorrow, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.